This evening, I'm going to talk about the fifth commandment. It is quite interesting to notice that the last six commandments in the Decalogue, or Ten Commandments, are the commandments about the relationships amongst the people. It means that God does consider it quite important for us to have good relationships with our neighbors. We may have a very good vertical relationship between us and God Himself, but we need to have a good relationship with our neighbors as well. The first of these last six commandments is none other than about the relationship between our parents and children. It is because this relationship at home must be the foundational and the fundamental relationship in human society. When this foundational relationship begins to be broken up, we will be able to see a lot of broken relationships in our society. In order to understand this relationship, we cannot but consider relationships between parents and children. In fact, we can look into this relationship from two different perspectives. Let me consider a few preliminary thoughts first. And I'm going to continue on this particular commandment next week. Oh, not next week. Next week, Dr. Martin is going to speak in the evening service. But on the following Sunday, I will continue on this commandment. We are familiar with the term child abuse. However, there is also a term for parents' abuse. Parents' abuse or child abuse is not an uncommon story we find from our daily newspapers these days. In order to understand the fifth commandment more clearly, let me begin with the issue of child abuse. It's just a brief talk as a part of my introduction. My primary focus is not going to be given on this particular matter, but I want to talk about our responsibilities and duties to honor our parents today. Though it is very sad and horrible to hear about child abuse cases, it is not a secret anymore that this insane society has allowed us to hear and see some extreme child abuse cases. A few years ago, there was a report from the States that a father beat his 12-year-old daughter more than 160 times with a 5-foot stretch of electrical cable after she was tied down. We often hear about infant deaths because of family violence. Such violence should not be tolerated, and such a violence should never be condoned. I read an article written by Elaine Hayes in February year 2004, and she speaks about four types of child abuses. Number one, physical abuses, which are the cases that parents or other adults deliberately injure a child or do nothing to prevent it. This not only includes physical violence, but also giving children alcohol or drugs. It is really a mad society. How come parents are giving drugs and alcohols to infants? Number two, there are emotional abuses, which are the cases that parents continuously fail to show love and affection to their children. Number three, neglect abuses, that parents fail to meet the child's basic needs for food, warmth, clothing, or medical attention. And I have read news about a mother who let her child die while she was enjoying parties. David Pelzer, maybe if you have an opportunity, you may want to read this particular book. David Pelzer, P-E-L-Z-E-R, Pelzer, wrote a book titled A Child Called It. The child was not treated as him. This is a boy, but he was called as it, to talk about the abuses he had received from his own mother during his childhood. Number four, there are sexual abuses, which are the cases that an adult or sometimes an older child uses a child for sexual gratification. This might mean forcing a child to carry a sexual act or deliberately showing a child adult pornographic videos or magazines and filming or photographing children in a sexual way. It embarrasses me to talk about this sort of story, but our current culture and moral decay in our society really force and push preachers like me to talk about such a horrible topic and subject. Sadly, it is estimated that at least one child a week, every week in England and Wales, dies as a result of physical abuse. Approximately 30,000 children are currently on child protection registers. The reason that I begin with the issues related to the children or child abuse cases first is because the Fifth Commandment teaches us about both honor and duties of parents. Many years ago, on Mother's Day, I preached about honoring the parents. After the service, one lady came to me. And she told me that she had known a particular young man who had been abused by his parents for a number of years as a little child. And now, you know, he was grown up and he was living an independent life and so on. But it is very clear that the boy was abused by his children. And she said something like this, "Pastor Key, I understand that we should be able to obey God's commandment, and the Fifth Commandment obviously requires children to honor and respect their parents. But in such a case, to the boy, if I go to the boy and I begin to talk about his relationship with the parents and so on, can I or should I tell him that he should honor his parents?" Abusive parents. That reminded me that the Fifth Commandment must be examined from two different perspectives: parents' duties and parents' privileges. Duties to look after their children, but at the same time, they must be privileged by being honored by their children. So there are kind of balanced teaching between parents' honors and their responsibilities. Having seen the problems related to child abuses, now we need to pay our attention to the parents who are suffering, which is a hidden secret and dark side of our present culture and the present generation and our society. There are so many parents abuse cases by their children, very unfortunately. It does not surprise us anymore that parents were killed by their children over money matters or because of certain disputes, conflicts, or certain anger kind of triggered matters and so on. And these incidents are not rare incidents anymore in our society. Quite often we do hear about those things. Denise Winterman wrote an article for BBC on the 23rd of November 2009 titled "Abused by Their Children." He says, "Now new figures from Parentline Plus reveal its helpline received 3 calls a day on average last year from parents suffering verbal or physical abuse. For some, it has been going on for years. It says such aggression is more common than people think, but many parents don't ask for help because they feel ashamed. The range of abuse includes hitting, punching, shoving, punching holes in the wall, and spitting, as well as having homes and possessions destroyed during the raids. It's shocking how many parents are frightened of their children, but there is a lot of shame surrounding the issue, and they don't speak out," says Valerie Outram of Parentline Plus, end of quote. I must point out that parents' abuse cases do often happen by their teenage children, mostly aged between 13 and 15. Parent abuse refers to any harmful act by a teenage child intended to gain power and control over their parents. The abuse can be physical, psychological, or financial. Though we hear so much about child abuses, there are lots of hidden and secretive and not so openly spoken parents' abuses in our homes and society. Let us consider the fifth commandment. It gives us a lot of reasons to think about the fifth commandment. First of all, let me begin with the general introductions. Let me talk about the two causes of a parent's abuses. If we look up an English dictionary, we can find words like filicide or patricide. Filicide means a deliberate act of a parent killing his or her own son or daughter. And patricide means an act of killing one's own father. And matricide means a killing of one's mother. It is a very unfortunate experience even to acknowledge such vocabularies from the dictionaries. The reason that our dictionaries contain those two words or three words is because those things do happen in our living world, in our society. We cannot but recognize those definitions, very unfortunately. Such vocabularies ironically prove that there are horrible incidents in existence. And the cause behind all these problems related to parent abuse cases is because it's the deteriorated relationship between parents and children. We often hear about the deteriorating relationships between parents and children. Problems seem to be destined for a never-ending course. I do not intend to talk about child abuse this afternoon, but rather about our duty and privilege to honor and respect our parents, and we cannot but think about deteriorated relationships between parents and children. The second cause we may think about is that the society does not uphold or respect parents' rights in terms of their rights and privileges to raise their children according to their values. The society or communities we are living in, or even the laws of the land, challenge a notion of parental rights. For example, when parents raise their voices against inappropriate sex education in their children's schools, judges do not take part with the parents. So the 9th U.S. Court, Circuit Court of Appeals, stated this, in quote, "There is no fundamental right of parents to be the exclusive provider of information regarding sexual matters to their children. Parents have no due process or privacy right to override the determinations of public schools as to the information to which their children will be exposed while enrolled as students," end of quote. So certain lessons and teaching materials within the public schools may be in contrary to the convictions and beliefs of the parents. However, parents do not have right and privilege to raise any objection to those things as long as school system keeps it. While parents' rights has been undermined, children's rights has been increased disproportionately. In this confused age, what does the fifth commandment teach us about parents and children's relationship? The implications from the fifth commandment are important in this parent, in a sense, weeping and crying age. What are the implications of the fifth commandment concerning honoring our parents? Is the fifth commandment relevant to our today's society? Well, there are a couple of things we need to consider. Let me begin with a larger catechism question, number 123, which asks, which is the fifth commandment? Answer is, the fifth commandment is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. So that was the text we read this afternoon. Then question number 124 states this. What are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? So we are supposed to honor our father and mother. And who are they? answer says, by father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as, by God's ordinance, are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. So whoever is above us in authority, those superior ones, we may honor our parents in our home, to our natural parents, but if we do not honor and respect those seniors in the society, in our everyday living, if we find those ones who are superior to us, if we do not pay proper respect and honor to them, then this commandment is being violated. That's the implication of this commandment. So this commandment gives us a proper order within the society, not only at our homes, but also in our country, in our society, in our community. It indicates that the fifth commandment does have deeper implications in terms of our relationship with our superiors. Today I'm going to focus on man's duties to his parents, and so I cannot deal with other relationships, you know, in terms of our superiors or bosses in workplaces, or our uncles and aunties, if I can say, or grandparents and those people who are senior than us by age. There are the relationships we need to think about, but my primary focus will be given on man's duties to his parents, and the following week, 2 weeks later, I will talk about the parents' responsibilities for their children. To be dutiful to our parents is God's commandment in the Bible, and children's reasonable attitude toward their parents. The Bible tells us that children must respect and honor their parents, and they are told to obey them. Children also ought to make their parents glad and happy. In this ruthless age, the Word of God sets a standard for our conduct to our parents. We do not have to make our own rules or our guidelines in terms of our relationship to our parents, but Bible sets the rules for our relationship with our parents, how we should deal with our parents, how we should treat our parents, what sort of attitude we must have toward our parents. We should never let the culture dictate the way of our life, but the Word of God must be our guide. Exodus 20 verse 12 was our red text, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Proverbs 23, verse 25, it says, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Ephesians 6, 1 says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What does it mean to obey our parents in the Lord? Well, I'm going to speak about the fifth commandment with 3 points. One, reasons for the commandment. Two, signs of disobedience to the commandment. Number three, ways to fulfill the commandment. Let me begin with the reasons for the commandment. There are definite reasons for children to obey their parents. There are definite reasons why children must honor and respect their parents. The first reason is this. God has set forth our moral standards. God has given us the principle or guideline in this matter. His moral standard is for our happiness, we must remember. Our moral God has commanded us to obey our parents. Therefore, disobedient children must know that their disobedience is against the will of God. Their disobedience to their parents is against the commandment of God. It is a very act of despising God's commandment. The character of God is reflected in the biblical ethics. There is no way to separate the biblical ethics from the character of God. For example, the Bible says, he shall be holy for the Father is holy. The Lord our God is holy. The transcendent and righteous God requires his people to comply with his ethical code. The Heavenly Father requires His people to live as heavenly citizens on this earth. According to God's moral and ethical code, one of the duties that children must bear in this life is to respect and honor their parents. This moral and ethical binding of children to respect and honor their parents lifts Christian faith and religion to be the most lofty and noble, the noblest one in the whole world. It is because the basis of children's respect and honor to their parents is not just man's conscience. It is not just a society's moral code. It is not just a cultural issue. You know, Asian culture encourages children to respect and honor their parents, or African culture encourages children to honor and respect their parents. It is not a cultural issue whatsoever. It doesn't have anything to do with even society's the code of morals or morality. The reason that we must be able to respect and honor our parents is because God has said so. Divine commandment is given. The one who created the heavens and earth told his creatures to obey, respect, honor their parents. Christian children do not respect and honor their parents simply because that is a good thing, or the society promotes such a value, or the cultural background encourages them to do so, but because the character of God requires it. So this commandment is divine. It's not human, it's divine. We know and understand that many people have misunderstood Christian religion as if it is impious and unloving religion toward their parents. Children, you know, I cannot but talk about certain cultural things. In certain cultures, there is a practice of ancestor worship. So children are supposed to bow down before the dead bodies or already those ones who have already passed away, and to remember their life and death and so on, a table is set up and the food is provided, and bow down before those tables and so on. But Christians do not do that. Christians do not follow such a practice. So even in the funeral services, when traditional services are given, Christians do not bow down before those altars and so on. As a result, Christian children are oftentimes oppressed, persecuted, and attacked by their loved ones and so on. And they say that Christians do not honor their parents. You know, how often we hear such stories from certain countries. However, we ought to know the fallacies in ancestral worship. One of the things we must remember is that the more filial children we are now, the less we will cry at the funeral of our parents. I have seen a lot of children crying, you know, nonstop, wailing at the death of their parents. But I know that they were stubborn, disobedient, and dishonest children to their parents. We should not judge of our filiality by the amount of food we will place before the graves of our parents. Instead, while they are still living with us, they are still alive, we should do well to them and respect them. That's the true affection to our parents. God has put this commandment of honoring our parents in the first place among all the commandments related to human duties, human relationships toward the fellow men. This is the fundamental and foundational commandment for all human society. If we are not honoring our parents, we are despising the commandment of God. The unbelievers may accuse us for our shortcomings, but we should not be easily charged as ungrateful and disrespectful children to our parents. We may be good in relations with other people, but we ought to consider our relationship with our parents as the fundamental and foundational relationship of all those relationships. We need to honor our parents. We need to respect and obey our parents. That is the fundamental relationship of our society. And God has set forth certain boundaries about our obedience to parents. Obeying our parents does not mean that we can break the rules and His commandments. Our understanding must begin with the fact that there is a higher authority above all of us, including our parents, which is the authority of God. God must come first, always. God created all things, including our parents, including us. Therefore, our obedience should never go beyond the authority of God. In order to obey God, if we break the rules of God, commandments of God, His will, then we are not doing well. When we are talking about authorities, there are priorities as well. And God must come first, and other things come to the next. That is the meaning that we ought to obey our parents in the Lord. In other words, our duty to God comes even before our duty to our parents. It shows that there are priorities even in this commandment. It does give us some problems. Think about Matthew chapter 10, 34 to 37. If you have Bible, you may want to turn your scriptures to Matthew 10, 34 to 37. It says this: "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." How can verse 36 be true to us? Verse 36 says, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Well, Luke 14, verse 26 says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." This teaching does not encourage Christian children to hate their parents or their wives, their children, but instead the primary focus is given to the love for God first. There are priorities. God is our Heavenly Father, and we must honor Him first, far more than anything else. That's why we have studied the first four commandments about our relationship to our God first. It is inevitable for a man who honors God to love and respect his parents. The commandment to love our parents in the Lord is not something that hinders us from loving our parents, but it enhances the quality of our love for them, because the love of God is already in our hearts. And from that point and onwards, we love our parents and we honor them and we obey them. Therefore, we are talking about quality obedience and respect to our parents. There are some indicators that may warn us of our disobedience. What are the signs that children are not filial or dutiful to their parents? Well, number one, if children make their parents heavy or overly worried about them, children are not doing well. Naturally, parents are concerned about their children. They are worried, anxious about their children, and so on. Well, I'm not talking about just a normal level of anxieties or worries or concerns that naturally parents may have, but we are talking about overly worried situation. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 1 says, "Wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." And such a child is called here foolish. Proverbs 19:13, first part of the verse says, "A foolish son is the calamity of his father." Proverbs 17 verse 25 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bear him." Who is grieving his or her parents? Well, the scripture says that person is a foolish person. He's foolish because he's not honoring his parents. He's not making his parents happy and satisfied, content in a sense. But also he's very foolish because he's breaking, violating the fifth commandment of God. I have been seeing numerous mothers and fathers who are grieving over their children. And oftentimes, parents are beating their chests and they are saying, what have I done wrong? What have we done wrong as parents to our children? And why our children are turned out to be this or that way? There are crying parents out there. These children are not doing well before the Lord. Obviously, they are not doing well before their parents, but they are not doing well before God either. And if children are not obedient, then they tend to be very stubborn and rebellious. In fact, God told Moses to punish such children with capital punishment in the Old Testament times. That is a severe punishment. That is the most severe and the harshest punishment we can think of about. Deuteronomy chapter 21 verses 18 to 21 says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die, so that thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Well, in this age of modernity, no one takes his child to the elders of the city so that the rebellious and stubborn son is going to be stoned to death with capital punishment. However, I have heard a few cases that actually parents reported their children to the police for their criminal activities and their abuses of parents. We see the importance of discipline on the part of parents while children are still flexible and learnable. Children ought to listen to their parents. When they refuse to listen to their parents, they are accountable for their disobedience to God. And if children despise their parents, they are disobedient. In fact, the scripture condemns such children. Proverbs 23 verse 22 says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Proverbs 30 verse 17 says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Especially children's wrong attitude toward their parents should be scolded, and children should be ashamed of their wrongs. I must say that there is an emphasis on the old age of mothers in Proverbs 23 verse 22. How are we treating our aged parents? Are we giving sufficient care to our aged parents? Do we honor them when they are weak and feeble in their old ages? Then if children curse their parents, they are sinning against God. And quite often during the rebellious ages, children do speak against their parents in wrong ways. Cursing our parents may include any sort of harassment, disrespectful descriptions of their parents, and dishonorable speeches about them and to them. The Bible condemned such behavior as a sin worthy of capital punishment again. Leviticus 20 verse 9 says, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Use proper words to speak to our parents. And when we speak about our parents, we need to use right words to pay due respect to our parents, even in our speeches. Parents must be honored in our words and speeches. If children put hands on their parents and strike them, they are condemned too. How sad thing, you know, to talk about such a thing. But we know that these things do happen in our society. Any sort of physical violence against the parents is an offense against God, and it is an evil act. Exodus 21 verse 15 says, "And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death." If children do not look after their parents in their old age and do not provide for their fundamental needs such as food, clothes, and a place to stay, they are not doing well. Well, I understand that, you know, in our Western society these days, parents do have their own pensions, and they must have saved some money for their retirement and so on. So I think children in our days do not have to carry heavy burdens to look after their parents as our parents' generation or preceding generations. However, still, we need to pay proper respect to them by providing the things that they may need. I think it is not a bad idea to set aside a certain amount of money for their pocket money, or maybe some extra expenses the children may make some contributions. I'm talking about once after you can meet your needs, okay? I'm not talking about during your internship. You have to support your parents. I'm talking about when you are grown up, you have your own family, and when you begin to have proper income and your parents are getting older and they cannot work anymore, I think that is a good time for you to begin to support your parents. But at the same time, even before then, a little bit of pocket money supply is not a bad idea. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. Would you like to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4? Okay, let's read it together. "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." Amen. It is noticeable that the word "required" here actually means to make a repayment. That is a very interesting concept. When we were young, our parents took care of us, and they looked after all our bills and whatever we needed. When they are old, it is our turn to look after them. Some children consider their parents only as just service people. So whenever they need their services, "Dad, Mom, parents, can you help us?" and so on. Well, they are not grateful for their parents' sacrifice, and they do not make any financial assistance to them. It has been reported that aged parents with child care duties, they tend to have higher risks of diseases and illnesses and back problems to carry those little babies. Well, if we ought to think of the needs of our parents in their old age, I do believe that we ought to express our gratitude toward our parents properly, in a meaningful way. We should not take it for granted that old-aged parents are here for looking after still our needs only. Then how to fulfill the commandment? Well, there may be a very long list if we begin to think about it, but let me give you just a few ideas or suggestions. Number one, children ought to honor their parents. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2 says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Recognize them. Thank them for their love and sacrifice. I think parents do not really expect from us, you know, to hear thank you words a lot. But I think if we can say thank you to them, they will appreciate it. I think they should be able to know that we are grateful for who they are and what they have done for us. Recognize them, and we need to thank them for their affection, their love, and their sacrificial work for us. And we need to listen to them. And I think if we are, you know, we do not have too many young people here, but I think a talk back is not a good idea in terms of respecting our parents. We must not easily dismiss their views, and our attitude and manners to them must be respectful. So we need to honor our parents. And we need to obey our parents. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9 say this: "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Colossians 3, verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Therefore, we need to listen to their concerns, and we need to obey them as much as we can. You know, parents may have wrong views and wrong ideas. Even in such cases, we should be able to speak to them kindly. And children are dutiful when they repay or put their efforts to bring some returns to their parents. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Would you like to read that verse as well? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. We read verse 4 from the same chapter, but this time verse 8. Okay, let's read verse 8. "But if any provide for his own, especially for those for his own house..." Amen. Well, what this verse is trying to say is that if someone is able to support his parents, however, he does not look after his family, and he does not want to provide the needed things for his family, in such case, that man is actually effectively denies the faith, and that person is worse than an infidel. That much Christian faith is encouraging children to look after their parents. We must not think of this repaying or making returns to our parents only in financial terms. Children should be able to talk to their parents with kind words and kind deeds. They need to visit their parents often if it is a possible thing, or, you know, if we are far away from each other, we should make sure that we call them and we need to talk to them. If they live far away from, children live far away from their parents, it is important for them to make special efforts to speak to them in some ways. Though there are many views and ideas, it is children's duty to provide their parents' basic needs, such as food, clothes, and a place to live. Sometimes the relationship between parents and children can be strained by their marriages. You know, daughter-in-law should respect and honor her mother-in-law as her own mother and try her very best to treat her well. And Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 says, I think Ruth is oftentimes quoted as an exemplary daughter-in-law. And it says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And after all, mother-in-law is not supposed to be a stranger. Therefore, she must treat, daughter-in-law must be able to treat mother-in-law as a mother of her beloved husband. Daughter-in-law needs to regard her as her own mother. Of course, a godly mother-in-law should treat her daughter-in-law with kindness and love as if she is her own daughter. Daughter-in-law is not a maid. She's not a servant, she's not a stranger, but a family. And Ruth chapter 1 verses 8 to 11 says, "And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord will deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? It seems that two daughters-in-law really cared about their mother-in-law, Ruth. And Ruth truly looked after them. And she cared about them. The most difficult person in the relationship between daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law is the son or the husband. I think we have heard such stories, I think, from various sources. He needs to understand his wife's physical work and tiredness for housework. Thus, he should be able to comfort his wife. But at the same time, he needs to be careful not to hurt any relationship between himself and his mother and the father. Children also need to understand their parents' generation. I think definitely there are different kinds of understandings about the relationships between parents and the children based on generations or generation gaps. Children, honor your parents and respect them. You know, I think there is a reason that we must be able to honor and respect our parents. Of course, this is a divine commandment, so we should do it. But at the same time, the reason that we should honor, love, respect, and obey our parents is because our parents will not be with us forever. There will be a time when we have to say goodbye to them. So, in a sense, this is a very limited opportunity. There is a time limit. So, when we have time, when we have opportunities, as long as we have them, before we are going to lose them, let us cherish them, love them, look after them if they have needs, and if we are able to provide their needs, let us do it for them. It is the way that we honor God and we honor our parents, and that is for our happiness as well. The Christian religion is the most filial religion as I can think of. In the name of God, not in the name of noble man, noble teacher, in the name of God, God's people are urged and commanded to honor their parents. If anyone does not look after his parents, the Bible says that he is worse than an infidel. In this ungrateful age, the Apostle Paul actually predicted in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, this world is being changed. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, like this, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So one of the signs or indications of last days is children's attitude to their parents. Improper attitude of children to their parents is a strong sign of the sinful world. Let us love, let us honor, let us look after our parents. It is our privilege to look after them. Do not make them cry or overly worried about us. But we love them, pray for them, respect them, honor them, and we listen to them. And we speak to them in kind manner. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.